Team, welcome to the Freedom Hut, Tuesday, November 9th edition. Great to have you here with me. We have Pfizer expected to ask regulators to approve boosters for all adults. They're getting ready for the big booster season of 2021-2022. A COVID wave is hitting the blue states, notably hospitals up in California. Mayor Bill de Blasio wants to institute vaccine passports for 5 to 11-year-olds here in New York City, because he is a sociopath. And we also have more on the climate change madness, the Biden administration's absurdity. So many things to get to today. So thank you for being here with me. When running a business, HR issues can kill you. You got wrongful termination suits, minimum wage requirements, labor regulations, and HR manager salaries aren't cheap, an average of $70,000 a year. Bambee, spelled B-A-M-B-E-E, was created specifically for small business. You can get a dedicated HR manager, craft HR policy, and maintain your compliance, all for just $99 a month. With Bambee, you can change HR from your biggest liability to your biggest strength, and your dedicated HR manager is available by phone, email, or real-time chat. From onboarding to terminations, they customize your policies to fit your business and help you manage your employees day-to-day, all for just $99 a month. It is month-to-month, no hidden fees. Cancel anytime. You didn't start your business because you wanted to spend time on HR compliance. Let Bambee help. Go to Bambee.com/buck. That's B-A-M-B-E-E. Bambee.com/buck right now. Schedule your free HR audit. Bambee, B-A-M-B-E-E.com/buck. So why is it that we all have to get the boosters? Because the vaccines work so well, right? They're amazing. It's fantastic. Or is it? I thought if you got the vaccine, you were a good, moral, considerate person. You were protecting everybody. You're doing your patriotic duty, Joe Biden used to say.
It's your patriotic duty. No joke. No joke, friends. You know, you lost your child.
Remember he was yelling that the other day like a lunatic?
You lost your child. Lost your.
He really needs to calm down, Joe Biden. Sometimes he needs a nap. He needs a nap. He needs a sippy cup. He needs a little bit of juice. A little juice and one of those little apple juice, maybe. Anyway, you have cases rising in California. You have the continued termination of employees over this. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals down in Texas has said on just rolling through with the vaccine mandate at the federal level. The federal government saying, oh, we're just going to do it anyway. Just keep going. Don't worry about it. Oh, because they respect the Constitution so much. They're such big believers. But I first wanted to note, when does this end? Since the very beginning, as soon as people were saying, it's like seatbelts, masks are like seatbelts, the idiot sheep bleating, bleh. It's seatbelts. No, it's not, actually. It was never like seatbelts. It never, masks and vaccines, all these things were never as straightforward as seatbelts. Came with more risks, came with more downsides than seatbelt. But nonetheless, yeah, I think, you know, where are the annoying libertarians these days, by the way? They're all basically saying corporations can do anything to you. Corporations can do anything. That's a free market. Great. Thanks, libertarians. Really helpful. But back in the day, you would have the libertarian folks out there saying, you know, seatbelt laws are unconstitutional. And you know what? They were right about that. There shouldn't be a federal seatbelt law. That's insane. And here we are now at the end stages of that safetyism, COVID safetyism. If only we listen, if only we obey Fauci and the rest, everything will be so much better. We'll be in such better shape. Not true. Here's White House Deputy Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre when she's asked, what is the end game? When does the COVID madness stop?
And do you have an idea of when the pandemic could become an endemic? You know, could cease to be a pandemic, and what does the end game look like at this point?
Yeah, I do not know. I would refer you to public health experts, the CDC. That's not something that we're zeroing in on. Our focus is to make sure we do everything we can to save lives and get people vaccinated.
Yeah, just listen to the CDC. Meanwhile, the head of the CDC sounded like a moron last week, saying masks reduce the spread 80%. If you believe that at this point, you're an idiot. Honestly, it's not possible to be a smart person and really think that masks reduce the spread of COVID 80%. We've all been living through this for a long time, and we've seen what happens. We've seen the data, places with masks, places without masks. Oh, it turns out there's actually really no difference whatsoever. But then they always come up with some excuse, some rationalization for why they're still the smart people. We're the smart ones. We make all the sense, we promise. Speaking of the worst of the worst, Bill de Blasio, the worst mayor in America, he's still running around saying that mandates work, as if this is as if the mandate forcing people to get the shot is a surprise that they get the shot, right? As if when you put a gun to someone's head and they do what you tell them, and then you say, look, they did what I tell them. Yeah, we know that part of it. And here's Bill de Blasio telling everybody that mandates work.
Mandates work. And there's going to be noise and there's going to be conflict, and you're going to have to hold your ground if you believe in a mandate. But listen, we're seeing it in the proof. People respond to a decision, a clear, straightforward decision. And in the end, folks went and got vaccinated. They got vaccinated. Life went on, but it's allowed everything else now to come back. The offices are filling up again. The restaurants are full. The tourists are coming back. We couldn't have done it without the vaccine mandate.
You know, that's a couldn't have done it without the vaccine mandate, he says. Meanwhile, California, very high vaccination rate, has rising hospitalizations right now. Meanwhile, New York City has more cases now than it did 12 months ago. Now, how do they explain that situation? Oh, they don't really have much in the way of explanation to give, do they? Other than just shut up and take the shot. In fact, in a truly, people abuse the term Orwellian. This is a truly Orwellian moment where Bill de Blasio wants to tell you that unfreedom equals freedom, that the destruction of freedom actually creates freedom. Here we go. Play it.
And I think what it says, your point about freedom is very powerful, that, you know, what is freedom? Freedom is the ability to go out there, live your life, have your job, be with the people you love. We were deprived of that for most of 2 years.
Right.
And vaccination actually gave us back that freedom. And I think people are going to realize as they see these mandates work, wait a minute, that's actually the thing we wanted.
Isn't this guy just the most awful person imaginable, really? First of all, why is the FDA clearing boosters for all adults right now? Notice how they're hoping you just don't see what's coming. You're not done if you got the shot. You're not done. You have to get another shot. And you're not done after that. You're going to have to get another shot. They won't tell you this now, but it's obvious. They won't tell you this now, but we can see it coming. Look at what they're going to do with children. Children are at no risk from COVID. Right? They're at the same risk from COVID that they are from the common cold. We're not going to evade the common cold. We're not going to evade COVID. It's actually, I don't even know if anyone ever even dies of the common cold or not, but children at least. But it's roughly the same, meaning that it's a completely acceptable risk. You know, if your kid gets a cold and dies from it, that's horrible, horrible tragedy. But there's no way to avoid these situations. It's life. This happens. Here is the First Lady, Jill Biden. She's going on a nationwide Vax Your Kids tour, as if this fake doctor is going to be any better than the awful doctors like Fauci we've already been hearing from.
So please make the decision to protect your children with the same vaccine that has already saved millions of lives, because nothing is more important than our children's health. It's up to us to keep them safe. And with this vaccine, we can.
This is a pitch for idiots, honestly. Your kids are not, there's no debate about this. Your kids are not at risk from COVID. So if they were being honest with you, what they would say is either they're crazy and they just can't help themselves and they have an anxiety disorder, or they would say, well, this is about protecting adults, actually. We're going to make kids get the shot and run the risks of the shot because we want to protect over-anxious, cowardly adults who have already had plenty of time to get the shot and probably have gotten it. Remember, this is a vaccine that now you see, they won't say it this way, but it's true. This is a vaccine that works so well that people who are vaccinated continue to be terrified of being around the unvaccinated. That's what an awesome vaccine this actually is. Just take that for what it is. I'm also going to put this out there. I think they're lying about the number of breakthrough cases in the hospital. I think they're lying about it. I think they're, I'm going to say lying. It's not that they're coming up with fake data. They're suppressing data. They're making the way they calculate it such that it seems less, well, the numbers seem less. They're trying to massage the numbers at a minimum, because you look at the UK data and people in the hospital all over the place in the UK, fully vaccinated. People dying in the UK from COVID, fully vaccinated. So how is it possible that that isn't happening in this country? Someone explain that to me. We have not had some mass booster campaign that would have prevented all of this. Why is the first lady going around telling people that they have to protect their kids by getting them the shot, though? Strikes me as madness, utter madness. But then again, even NFL players, professional athletes, they're coming under a lot of pressure now, too, as if they're at real risk from this disease. You know, we've gone our whole lives. You can have respiratory virus and spread it. You don't even know you have it. You might be asymptomatic, or you might be pre-symptomatic, but still doing viral shedding. This is just life. We are animals fundamentally, and we can spread viruses to each other in the air without meaning to or intending to. And we've just gone about our lives. You do the best you can. Now they've created a lie, and the lie is that we can control that. We can't. They haven't been able to. They failed. They cannot control this. They cannot stop COVID, but they still cling to this thing of, well, if it stops just one case, if it stops just one case, it's worth it. That's insane. That's how they feel. And this is how you get to the hysteria of people like this guy over at MSNBC, who's claiming that Aaron Rodgers, my new favorite NFL player. I mean, Aaron Rodgers all the way, baby. He's number one for me. Aaron Rodgers was putting his teammates in danger. So dangerous for NFL players to get COVID.
First of all, he lied. He chose his words, immunized, to, you know, obviously dodge the question about whether he was vaccinated or not when he was asked back in training camp. And then he also put his teammates in danger. He didn't follow the protocols that the NFL laid out for unvaccinated players, according to reporting. And he showed up at news conferences with media members, not wearing a mask when he obviously should have. And he gave this interview on Friday that was just, it was just so damaging, promoting conspiracy theories, attacking the cancel culture and the woke mob, you know, saying how Joe Rogan was his expert analysis. Meanwhile, this is Aaron Rodgers. He's a top three star in the NFL. He could have access to any medical personnel he would like. He has all the money as well. And his fall from grace here in the last few days has simply been swift and stunning.
Fall from grace. They're more upset. You can tell they're more upset about Aaron Rodgers than they are about the guy who's driving 150 miles an hour and ran into an innocent young woman in her car, and then the car caught on fire and she burned to death. They're more upset about Aaron Rodgers having a respiratory virus that about 150 to 200 million Americans have already had. But that's their thinking, you see. What if one person got, yeah, that person's fine. If it's an NFL player, person's fine. In fact, if it's any person, there's a better than 99 chance out of 100 that the person is fine. So really what they're doing is creating a tyranny based on irrational calculation of risk. It's a full-scale tyranny, because there's no way you can ever get people to admit that they've gone too far. If it saves just one life is all they're doing here, is all they really need, then they can get away with anything, because you could always claim you could be saving one more life. There is no outer limit to their control under this framework. It's very important that we all understand that, because that's the whole shebang here, folks. Come back into the notion of racist roads. Roads that have racist intent behind them. We'll get into this in a moment. I've gotten to know Mike Lindell very well over the years, and MyPillow is an amazing company. His team has hooked me up with MyPillows. I've got the My Slippers. I've got the Giza Dream Sheets, the MyPillow mattress topper. I sleep with, I sleep on MyPillows. I dry myself off with my towels. I mean, my entire apartment is basically just a shrine to MyPillow, because these are amazing products. My family's got hooked up with them. They're just the best. They'll help you get the best night's sleep you've ever had, too. They'll keep you warmer, cozier, drier. Game changer products. You got to check them out. Listeners like you have helped build MyPillow into the amazing company it is. Mike Lindell wants to give back to all of you with great discounts right now. All you have to do, and do it now, go to MyPillow.com. Go and click on the radio listener special square. You'll see these incredible rotational offers of up to 66% off products like their pillows, the mattress topper, the Giza sheets, Also, new products like their slippers, weighted blankets, robes, waffle blankets, and more. All MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Enter promo code BUCK for these great radio specials. Again, that's promo code BUCK for these amazing radio specials. MyPillow.com. Go check it out. And that is the way to do it. That is the move. You will love the stuff that you get from them. All right. Our roads, is there such a thing as racist infrastructure? White House correspondent April Ryan asked Transportation Secretary Buttigieg about racist roadways. Play 13.
How you will deconstruct the racism that was built into the roadways. Can you talk to us about how that could be deconstructed?
Part one of that is defining those investments that are eligible. As to where we target those dollars, you know, I'm still surprised that some people were surprised when I pointed to the fact that if an underpass was constructed such that a bus carrying mostly Black and Puerto Rican kids to a beach in New York was designed too low for it to pass by, that that obviously reflects racism that went into those design choices. I don't think we have anything to lose by confronting that simple reality. And I think we have everything to gain by acknowledging it and then dealing with it, which is why the Reconnecting Communities, that $1 billion, is something we want to get to work right away.
$1 billion on Reconnecting Communities. Just, you know, he's referring to a book that became very celebrated among the, Ivy League elites, The Power Broker by Robert Caro, a famous biographer. He also, I believe, did a series on Lyndon Johnson. And in The Power Broker, which, yes, I have read, there's a whole part about how Robert Moses, who became the head of his own infrastructure building kingdom in New York City and was behind a lot of major infrastructure projects, wanted to, according to Caro, limit the ability of certain public transit to go, essentially make the highway such that it was more difficult to get to certain places if you were taking public transport because of the height of it. Okay, let's all talk for a second here about what the reality is of those decisions as they play out today. Let's forget about what some people disagree that that's actually what was the motivation and that Caro is exaggerating the importance of those decisions, but I don't want to get into the historical debate. It doesn't even really matter. Are the roads still racist? Because I'm pretty sure that a lot of people take buses to a lot of places, so are they still not able to go under? Because if they are, who cares? Is it still a decision that is reflected in some way today? And also, they always leave out class was a huge part of a lot of these decisions at the time. You know, class in general, they wanted to keep the poor people away from the rich people, poor people of all kinds. You know, they forget that 100 years ago, you know, over 90% of the United States was white. So when you're making decisions, major city planning decisions, a lot of it, even if it was supposed to be keeping certain individuals out of different areas, it would have been poor people more than anything else. That's also a part of this. But irrespective of this, I mean, what does that have to do with now? So what are they going to reconnect communities? Who needs? I feel like everyone just needs better roads. Everyone needs the potholes to be fixed. Why is it always about race? Everything. Roads are racist. Food access, as you know, can be racist. Food deserts, much more complicated than that. Turns out when the government comes in and says, no, we're going to provide all the kale this minority community could ever want, and we're going to subsidize it. Do you know what happens? This is real. The minority communities don't end up buying a lot of kale because they don't want it. Because they're the ones that would buy it and eat it. And when I say they, I'm talking about in the aggregate. They did a whole food desert study, the federal government under the Obama administration. They tried to subsidize fresh produce. You remember this was with the whole Michelle Obama Let's Move campaign, and all of a sudden kids in school, instead of eating, you know, chicken nuggets and a Nestle Quick or something, kids in school were getting a couple of slender carrots and, you know, some kind of a leafy green to chew on. And they were like, this is gross. But anyway, they created these additional food access programs, and they were all failures because they weren't sustainable because people didn't want to buy it. You know, people didn't want to buy it. If you set up a Whole Foods and subsidized it in a low income neighborhood, yeah, people would buy some stuff there, but there's a lot of stuff that they wouldn't buy because people are allowed to choose what they want to eat. And by the way, this is true across all races. I mean, there is some correlation between income and the kind of food that you tend to eat. But, you know, you go to Eastern Kentucky, you got people eating a lot of, you know, potato chips and fried food and things like that. Like, that's just reality. So the government thinks they can change all these things. Anyway, I got a little distracted on that for a second there, but I'm just saying, yeah, the roads are racist. Everything is racist. Everything is always about race somehow all the time with Democrats. It does get so tiring after a while. And then one more thing here. They keep saying that it's not Biden's fault. It's not Biden's fault. Well, gas price is something with the president. Yeah, it's not all his fault, but is it somewhat his fault? Here's Deputy Press Secretary Jean-Pierre again when asked, what is Biden doing to help with gas prices? Here's what she says. Play
left. So I don't have anything specific here. The president spoke to this recently, but he's also asked FTC to crack down on illegal pricing, right? That is one thing that he did on gouging in the market, and the FTC is responding. But also we're going to continue to monitor the situation and have a number of tools in our arsenal, as I just mentioned. I don't have anything specific.
Yeah, a lot of tools in the arsenal, but nothing specific. What a shock. Friends, that's going to be it for today's pod. Thanks for being here on the Buck Sexton Show podcast. Hope we covered a lot of ground for you. We will be back tomorrow, obviously. In the meantime, please go to bucksexton.locals.com. Become a supporter. Appreciate it. Put a couple dollars in the hat. It's a big hat because I got a big head. bucksexton.locals.com is where you go for that. And also, you can always check out our podcast, The Clay and Buck Show. So back tomorrow, Shields. Hi.